Reading the Daily Reflection. Welcome to today's meeting. I'm Fernando, alcoholic. Let's go ahead and pray the serenity prayer, please. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Bondage of Resentment, as Bill sees it, page 55. That's April 15th. Harboring resentments is infinitely grave, for then we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the Spirit, as Bill sees it, page 55. All right. Let's say, it has been said, anger is a luxury I cannot afford. Does this suggest I ignore the human emotion? I believe not. Before I learned of the AA program, I was a slave to the behavior patterns of alcoholism. I was chained to negativity with no hope or of cutting loose. The steps offered me an alternative. Step 4 was the beginning of the end of my bondage. The process of letting go started with an inventory. I needed not be frightened, for the previous steps assured me I was not alone. My higher power led me to this door and gave me the gift of choice. Today, I could choose to open the door to freedom and rejoice in the sunlight of the steps as they cleanse the spirit within me. April 16th. Anger, a dubious luxury. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. From the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, page 66. Dubious luxury. How often have I remembered these words? It's not just anger that's the best left to non-alcoholics. I built a list including justified resentments, self-pity, judging others, self-righteousness, false pride, and false humility. Also complaining, criticizing, and condemning. I'm always surprised to read the actual quote. So well have the principles of the program been drummed into me that I keep thinking of all these defects are listed too. Thank God I can't afford them, or I surely would indulge in them. Again, if we were to live and live right, we had to be free of anger. Our next reading is on the 17th. Love and fear as opposites. Take quoting from the 12 steps and 12 traditions, page 49, it says, all these failings generate fear, a soul sickness in its own right. Fear knocked at the door, faith answered, no one was there. I don't know to whom this quote should be attributed, but it certainly indicates very clearly that fear is an illusion. I created the illusion myself. I experienced fear early in my life, and I mistakenly thought that the mere presence of it made me a coward. I didn't know that one of the definition of courage is the willingness to do the right thing in spite of fear. Courage, then, is not necessarily the absence of fear. During the times I didn't have love in my life, I most assuredly had fear. To fear God is to be afraid of joy. And looking back, I realized that during the times I feared God most, there was no joy in my life. As I learned not to fear God, I also learned to experience joy. Amen. Isn't that funny how much joy and laughter comes back when we're new and we start going to the meetings? We just have a feeling of well-being at the meetings that we are home. We have arrived. No judgment, no criticism. Where we can observe and grow, observe and grow. All right, April 18th, self-honesty. The deception of others is nearly always rooted in the deception of ourselves. Huh? Deceiving others is rooting in deceiving ourselves. When we are honest with another person, it confirms that we have been honest with ourselves and with God. That's a good indicator, huh? As Bill sees it, page 17. When I was drinking, I deceived myself about reality, rewriting it to what I wanted it to be. Deceiving others is a character defect, and if it is just stretching the truth a bit or cleaning up my motives so others would think well of me. My higher power can remove this character defect, but first I have to help myself become willing to receive that help by not practicing deception. I need to remember each day that deceiving myself about myself is setting myself up for failure or disappointment in life and in Alcoholics Anonymous. A close, honest relationship with a higher power is the only solid foundation I found for honesty with self and with others. All right, now April the 19th. Brothers in our defects. We recovered alcoholics are not so much brothers in virtue as we are brothers in our defect and in our common strivings to overcome them, as Bill sees it, page 167. The identification that one alcoholic has with others is mysterious, spiritual, almost incomprehensible. But it is there. I feel it. Today, I feel that I can help people and that they can help me. It is a new and exciting feeling for me to care for someone, to care what they are feeling, hoping for, praying for, to know their sadness, joy, sorrow, grief, to want to share those feelings so that someone can have relief. I never knew how to do this or how to try. I never even cared. The fellowship of AA and God are teaching me how to care about others. Wow, that was a very interesting article. We're going to have to read that again and camp here for a bit and make a couple of comments. I like the part where the guy says, I never knew how to do this. Never knew how to do what? To express what I'm going through. You know, it is a new and exciting feeling for me to care for someone, to care what they are feeling, hoping, praying for, and know their sadness, joy, sorrow, grief, to want to share those feelings so that someone can have relief. You know, when someone talks like that and is going through it, God has made us that we all have compassion and we all want a productivity. We all want to grow. We want to increase. Automatically, we all want to get better. That's the name of the game, you know, is to be healthy. So I started caring for people. I was in Tracy, California, and I was attending a meeting there. I figured I needed to get back. A friend of mine took me back to meetings. And I started feeling this crazy feeling that I couldn't understand. And, you know, I felt like I was losing Fernando, and I was not getting a new Fernando. You know, my character was just like lamey, you know, I wasn't like wanting to, whatever that feeling was, I felt, what's going on here, man? You know, they're taking away all my character points, you know, that I run with. So I left for 3 weeks. And it was dark and lonely where I was, and I wasn't drinking, but it was just, I had enough of that. Years and years of darkness to be by myself and not really growing intelligently. So I wanted to go back and grow intelligently because it stimulated a part of my brain that was to grow and to observe and understand and to grow with interest and curiosity and see other people come out of the alcoholic web that I was in. And sure enough, I would have drank if I wouldn't have gone back. I would have forgot all about the appointments and the people. So what I did is I appointed myself to cleaning. I noticed that there was dust under the seats and the tables were full of coffee stains. So I chose to clean that up and make myself the custodian right away. Started cleaning up. And that was in 1994, Tracy, California. To this day, I'm still cleaning tables where people sit down. I bring coffee. Even some days I don't want to. And when I don't want to, it's extraordinary how the new people, they laugh and they drink coffee and they slurp it up and try to get every last drop out of it. It's kind of like, Wow, they really love my coffee. I just bought another coffee pot, and I don't know how many coffee pots I've been through, how many I broke, how many, anyway, the point I'm making is I fell in love. You know, I fell in love with the people there, or I started caring more for their, you know, what happens to them. When someone was missing, the motorcycle guy, the painters, two guys that were painting and coming to meetings, the couple that were transients in a railway for over 30 years and finally got sobered and settled down, Tracy. The local attorney, the local guard, there was a prison there, so we used to get a lot of guards. And then one night, anyway, a lot happened in there, so I have to tell you about it. Well, I might as well tell you about it now. What happened is the group grew, and then the group split. Some people said we were paying too much rent, and they went to a church, and they started another meeting. And that was fine. But we already couldn't make our bills because the rent was so high, over $1,000 for... But we were there in the storefront where people knew we were there for years. And we were closed for 2 weeks, then we started up again and started paying the bills. And then I had about three positions because we lost a lot of our secretaries. I had the Thursday night, and then I had the Saturday, and then Sunday. I had the men's meeting at 6:30 in the morning on Wednesday. And then a guy, the first day that I was open for Thursday night, we haven't been open for 3 weeks. We opened it up. I made the coffee. I put the books out there with a big book study. And I had the format, you know, what to do. And this big burly guy opens the door and he stands at the door. Him and his wife are both there. And she's as big as him. And big white guy. And he says, "Hey, I just got out of prison. I promised my wife I would come over here. I just wanted to meet that promise," but he wasn't coming in. He held the door open. You know, he was yelling, and I got up and I started talking to him and so forth, and he relaxed a little bit. And then I got two steps in there. He got to relax a little more. Then he kind of smiled, and then finally I sat him down, gave him a cup of coffee, and I had him laughing and so forth, him and the wife. The guy said, "I just got out of prison, the Tracy prison, for killing someone over a drug deal. If you don't tell me something of value, some weight, I'm going to go use." That's exactly what he told me when he was at the door. I jumped and I started my salesman pitch. The guy ended up started selling computers. I bought a computer, $1,200 computer from him. Did everything to try to keep him sober. And he got sober. And I met all his family, and it was just such a loving family. The lady had about 12 little brothers and sisters. And it was amazing when they filled up the parents and all that love. I never seen such love come out of people. They were mostly farmers. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you so much for taking me to that thing. And the idea is not to lose love, folks. Let's pray the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, of thy love, of thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. Keep coming back. It's working.